Let's go ahead and stand. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. We're going to look 11, verse 11 through 17. 11 through 17. It says this in verse 11, "And it came to pass a day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of the disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bared him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up, began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region around about." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, this morning, dear Lord, I do need you this morning to give me the power and your unction upon my life to preach. God, I ask you to cleanse me of the vessel be used of you, Lord God, and if any sins in my life, Lord God, I ask you, Lord, to reveal it so I confess it and get those things cleansed, Lord God, be used of you. And Lord, be closer to you and walk with you, Lord God. And Lord, I just desire to be of a man that has a closeness with you, Lord God, and be used of you mightily. Father, now I ask you, Lord, to hide me behind the cross. I ask you, bless the reading of your word and challenge the hearts this morning, Lord God. We all have issues. We all got struggles. We all have problems, Lord God. But Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit now move in the hearts, challenge the hearts, Lord, and wherever it may be, Lord. But Lord, I pray that if anyone this morning is lost, Lord, and not sure of their salvation, today, Father, I pray they'll get this settled, Lord God. Lord, meet with us this morning, Lord. We need you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for a great and mighty God, Father. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In this section, Luke chapter 7, verse 11 through 17, it's kind of interesting that you see previous where he's kind of like, you heard the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, and they call this chapter 6 a Sermon on the Plain. And some say that it's the same, and some say it's a different one, but the message is still the same. You know, God was still preaching the gospel, still preaching to the people. And I want to talk to you this morning about God is always available. The Lord is Jesus Christ is always available when we don't think he's available. In the trials in life, in the situation, when each one of us go through something, he seems like he seems so far away, or I'm not sure what's taking place, but he's always available to us when we are alone and dark. And David said, I looked to my right side, and I looked to my left, and no man cared for my soul, but Christ was always there available to him. We all go through struggles. We all go at trials in our life. This shows the availability in this passage that Christ was there for her. Listen, he wasn't there from some great man of God. He wasn't sent some great man. It was just about an old widow lady. Now, I don't know if she was an old lady in age or she could be in her 30s, but listen, she was a widow. She was in dire need. And listen, Christ was there. From this passage, we can learn that Christ is always available in crisis. He's always available in crisis. Look at verse 11 through 12. And it says, "And it came to pass a day after that he went into a city called Nain, that many of the disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and much people of the city was with her." Listen, he came from Capernaum. He done was a centurion. He had a servant that was sick and he was dying. He asked him to, you know, bring Christ. And he said, "Don't you come to my house and just say the word and he'll be healed." Listen, God is always available. He's always trying to reach and help people's lives. But listen, he comes and he sees the situation. He leaves there. He's 25 miles from Capernaum, 6 miles south of Nazareth. Yet he finds just this lady. But he's always available. The progression, he was always looking. And in her crisis, he was there. Listen, it's always sad when somebody loses a child. I remember the day you heard me talk about when I was in the field. I'll never forget it. It impacted my life. I thought I was going to lose my child. But listen, I never lost a child. There's people that maybe in here or with people we know have lost a child before they've gone. And it's an impact upon their lives. We expect to bury our children. We don't expect, we expect the children to bury us. We don't expect us to bury our children. And it's heavy on the lady, heavy on the family. In this case, we see this is more afflicted because she is a lone widow. It was more difficult during that time to be a widow because she had no husband, she had no sons, and she was in dire need. A great emotion affected her because she lost her son. How long ago did she lose her son, husband? We don't know. But listen, when the lady during that time didn't have a son or somebody to take care of her, it was hard to make financial meet. She was physically affected, she was emotionally affected, she was spiritually affected. But listen, Christ was available. Sin destroys, death separates. And she was in a dire need. There's a quiet procession of people, whether it talks about, it says that verse 11, many of the disciples were with him, talking about with Christ, and it goes on down to verse 12. It says, much people of the city was with her. Much people. There's a lot of people with her, watching her. They may be professional mourners. You know, it's funny, when you get around a lot of people, when you're hurting, you can be seen so alone, can't you? Everybody's around, you're hurting, you're by yourself. Sometimes you see people hurting, they've lost their loved ones, or a man or a woman has been married for 50, 60 years, they lose that spouse, and you want to say something, but the best thing to do is just stand there and be available and to say, I love you. You know, the things that, God will be there, you know, God is a better place, that'll help. Just being available and saying, I love you. Oh, she was hurting. There's a quiet professional mourners, as I said, many people. Listen, they say the chance of dying is one out of one. You get it? One out of one. You're going to die. But Christ is available. There's financial loss. It's going to happen, but listen, he was available. He's always available. He never leaves comfortless. John 14, 18 tells us, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6 tells us, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Man shall do unto me. Question, is God a liar? No. He's always available. He's always close. But we may feel alone. We may feel like he's so far away, but he's always on. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of righteousness. I'll never leave thee. Oh, what comfort. He never leaves us comfortless. He's always available even in time of crisis. You know, when there's crisis in her life or my crisis, when it comes upon us, we seem alone, but he never leaves us. I think of people who are lost on the way to hell, but listen, he's never far away. He's always available in the time of crisis. He's always ready to save. He's always ready to save the which are sinful and undone and trespasses sin. 1 Timothy 2:4 tells us, who will have all men to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering towards not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Not any. He's always available. He's always there reaching out. Listen, he's always seeking. He's always seeking. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man is coming to seek and save that which was lost. Listen, but you got to realize your condition. This woman realized her condition. She was not dealing with her salvation. She was dealing with the loss of her family. She was alone. Again, this woman was in dire need of financial strait. She was emotionally lost her son. She lost her husband. This woman is in dire need. She's in a crisis, but he was available. We must realize our condition. And listen, folks, if you're lost, you're not saved, you got to realize your condemnation. For he made himself available to meet our need. Listen, when hopeless it seems, he's always calling whosoever. Whosoever will come. He's available. But you have to come. In verses 1, we see the crisis, but look in verse 13, we see that his compassion. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said to her, weep not. I thank the God, He's not just a compassionate God, He's a God, a great compassionate God. Lamentation 3, 22 and 23 tells us it's the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. If we got what we deserve, the ground would open up and swallow us up and put us in hell. That's what we all deserve. But God's mercy is always renewed every morning. It goes verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He's a God available with compassion. During the crisis and the situations of our life, I was undone. Does it matter being trespassed? He was available to me, but He had compassion on my soul. He has compassion on you. He cares about your soul. He cares about you, Christian. Every need you have in a crisis, He's available. He has compassion. He hurts for you, but you have to be calm. But it's a whosoever. Often He shows compassion. We see in Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus talked about He was busy. He was healing, preaching, teaching the Word of God, and saw the people. In the chapter 9, verse 36, but when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as having no sheep. He was busy. How many times we get so busy and we see the people? It's just people, but we don't see, as He sees them, of people hurting, people lost, people on the way to hell. Hey, somebody out them doors are hurting. I don't care who you meet. And they be made rude or crude, but they are hurting. But He had compassion on those people. He saw their need. They were feeble. They were scattered. They had no place to go. Listen, he was feeding the 5,000. And listen, the Bible said that much people followed Him. They were following Him where He was going, but He had compassion on them. He said, Matthew 14, 14, and when Jesus went forth and He saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. He's always a compassionate God. He's always available with full of compassion. He saw the blind man who was sitting on the wayside. He saw the man that they had no place to go. They had no direction. Listen, they wasn't with a group. They was just on the wayside. And they called out to him in Matthew 20, verse 34. And so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed Him. How many times you find yourself on the wayside with everybody else? You had no place to go, no direction in your life. You don't know what to do. But only He knows and He cares. He had compassion. I saw a guy walking down the street here, shoes all battered up, messed up, and I don't know if he was on drugs, but I looked at him and thought, that boy needs Christ. He ain't the cop you want in the church, dude, you know. He'd probably stink, dirty, don't wear a nice tie. Oh, Christ saw him. He had compassion on him. Don't matter who you are. It's a God full of compassion. He saw him on the wayside nobody cared about. How about the lepers, pictures of sin? We know leprosy speaks of sin, of unclean and unwilling. Listen, people were unwilling to touch. But in Mark chapter 1, verse 41, it says, Jesus moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him and said unto them, I will, be thou clean. He's always willing the compassion to pull. And it just amazed me when I talk to people about this Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't they come? Why don't they turn from their wicked ways? Why is it that we struggle in crisis and we say, nobody cares. Nobody understands. But He's always available telling you He loves you. He's always available telling you He cares. He knows your hurts. He knows your trials and blindness. You don't know where to go and the disease and problems, sins we have. He loves you so much. But you got to come to Him. Listen, He cares. His hands are reached out for you. Listen, Jesus Christ was tempted, all points tempted as we are. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He understands the temptations. He understands the trials and tribulation you go through. He can't be touched and He did not sin, but He understands your needs. Tell me what other God is so greater than that? So great of God, He created the world. And listen, He became man just like you and me, like passion, to die for me and you. He knows our sorrows. He came from glory to pay our debt. He compassion and grace. We don't deserve salvation. He had compassion on us because He first loved us. Listen, we can't come to Him without Him. Think about that. We cannot go to Him. You say, well, I'll get saved tomorrow. I'll get saved another day. My friend, you can't come unless He draws you. John 6:44 says, no man come to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up the last days. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I've loved thee with everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn thee. I didn't go searching for Him. He came searching for me. You didn't come searching for Him this morning. You came here and said, well, I'll just check Him out. See, He's a good old boy. No, He's a great God. He's a great God. He came and dealt with your hearts and said, you need to come. You know something's dealing with your heart. And He's drawing you, and He's drawing you, and He's drawing you. No man seeks after God. No man. He draws us. Oh, listen. He's a great God. But He loves us and He's full of compassion. But you got to come. Listen, what about you're saved? You say, I'm saved. Why are we struggles and trials? I think about trying to find a place. I got to find this and move my family. I got to pay this and pay this. I don't know about you, but I got a limit. But my God knows. He just let me know that, hey, you can't do it. Somebody in this church asked me, how are you going to build this church? Can't do it. But Christ can. He can change your hearts. He can help us reach the people that need Him. He says, I'm drawing this boy over here. Go get him. There's a little girl over here. Go get her. I need a bus driver who would drive. Oh, He one that builds the church. He one that changed the lives. Brother Schreeder was preaching the Word of God, doing right, but God said, that's enough here, boy. I need you to go over here. Somebody needs Christ over there. Oh, Somalia, thousands and thousands and millions are going to hell. Who has compassion? Who sees the vision? He sees it. Oh, listen, Jesus is available. He's available in our crisis. He's available with compassion. Jesus is available to bring change. Look at verse 14. It says, He came and touched the bier, and it says, and they bare Him, stood still, and He said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Verse 15, and He was dead, sat up, began to speak, and He delivered him to his mother. Oh, it was an open casket, and they saw Him carrying. Listen, He was concerned of their hearts and sorrows. Jesus told the young man, get up. Verse 15 told the man, he got up, began to speak, and presented to his young man to his mama. You notice when you get saved, you get up, you speak up, and you stand up. You start doing something. You start moving. You start showing up. I got saved. I went to church. I got saved. I want to get baptized. Not to show that, not to get more saved. I said, preacher, I'm saved. What hinders me get baptized today? I didn't do it for them. I didn't do it for you. I did it for Him. Why do you come to church? To make you feel good, or you do it for Him? He's a great God. Listen, He changed this boy. This boy was dead. He brought him back up. Listen, He changed him. When He was on earth, He saw the crippled and made them whole. When they was insane, He made them sane. They were demons possessed, He cleansed them. They're blind, they could see. They were dead, they became alive. Christ changed the disciples from old knotheads to great men of God. He changes lives and every person is born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things become new. It says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. If God hasn't changed your life, there's no change, you ain't saved. The book says it's a change in your heart. There's a change in your life. It didn't say flip a new leaf. Oh, I'm smoking. I'll quit smoking. No, it changed the inside of man. It changed his whole life. Oh, he becomes something new. Mel Trotter. And back in I can't remember what year. Boy got saved. That was the story about his testimony was this. He was a drunk. He went 11 and a half weeks without drinking. But the thirst got him. Sold his horse. Amen. He started robbing stores to pay his drunkenness. He had one child, a 2-year-old boy. Went on a drunk spree, came back. Mama was holding the baby in his arms, and the baby was dead. He said he wanted to die and commit murder and kill himself because he's a murderer. He called himself a murderer. But he did not do it. He said his fear because of the judgment of God upon his life. So he said, I'll quit drinking. I ain't going to drink. And he went to the funeral of his child. And 2 hours later after the funeral, he came home staggering drunk. He wanted to die. He could overcome this sin. He couldn't come over this problem in his life. But he heard a preacher preaching. Preaching that Jesus Christ was available and Jesus Christ could change lives. That man got down on his knees and asked Jesus Christ to save him, and God changed his life. He got up, started speaking up, and he started showing up because he started preaching to other drunks. And other drunks got saved. Amen. There's a change. Is there a change in your life? Is there a want to? Oh, listen, he was available, but he brings change. He's a great God. He passed, he goes on, which I lost my point. The Holy Spirit takes control of our lives. He changes from our hatred to love, our sorrow to joy, our turmoil to peace. He takes the impatience to long-suffering, roughness to gentleness. He takes the old crookedness to goodness, unfaithfulness to faithfulness, pride to meekness. Listen, he brings a change. He brings a change. When we're out of control, he brings us under control. Listen, he's available in our crisis. Christ is always available with compassion. He always brings a change. But lastly, he's available, accepting commendation. Verse 16 and 17 says, there came a fear on all. Listen, when they saw he got up, stood up, and started speaking up and showing up, then they all glorify God, saying that a great prophet. Notice that. A great prophet. Not the prophet. Because listen, he ain't a great prophet. He is the great God. He is the God. The only God. He is the only one. But not a great prophet. But God has visited his people. And the rumor of him went forth and throughout all of Judea and throughout all the regions round about. Here they saw, there came a fear upon all of them that glorify God. They glorify him, like I said, not as God. But we need to recognize and we should be thankful that he is a great God. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him therefore let us offer sacrifice and praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Continually. Do you wake up giving God great thanks for what he's done in your life? Are you really are thankful that he saved you? Listen, you should be thankful he woke you up this morning. You have breath in your life, in your lungs, and you're here today. You should be thankful that you can pray for the loved ones who are lost. You should be thankful that God has mercy and brought you here. And listen, if you're lost, you're not saved, you should be thank God he gave you one more day. One more day. Amen. To give you an opportunity to hear. Psalms 107 verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 96 verse 1 and 2 says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, very familiar verse. In everything give thanks, for this is the what? The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This we need to give thanks. But verse 17 goes this, and this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the regions about. This rumor is a report they were talking about. What was the big talk? What was the big issue? I tell you what the issue was. The man was dead in trespassing sins. Man changed. Listen, you know, they see an old boy that it was in the beer joints or whatever it may be, and his life was sin, and God changed. There's a change. People talk about it. I know that old boy. He wasn't this way. He changed. There's a change. People talk about the change. They see a change. If they don't see a change in your life, you need to ask yourself why. Maybe there wasn't a change. There's got to be a change in your life. You're a new creature. He changed from inside and works out. Realize all they could do is praise him. Listen, when I got saved, my wife got a new husband. When I got saved, my baby got a new daddy. Listen, he changes lives. That woman got her son back. God is always available in crisis, full of compassion. He brings changes. We need to praise him, seeing what God has done. What about the mama? Mama's son was raised. She was hurting. She lost her son. She said, loved ones. Listen, I pray for family members I love, and I don't know when they get saved. You say, preacher, how long do you pray for the long ones? Till you go to heaven. Yeah. How long till Christ come and get you? How do you know that your prayers didn't stop them from dying and going to eternity? How do you know that God hasn't extended their life because of your prayer? He loves you. He says, my servant's praying for you, I'll give you another day. My servant's praying for you, I'll send somebody to you. They have to make that choice to come, but he's always available. Oh, he changes lives for the man. He changed lives for the mama. How about the people? Bible says that the rumor went out through all Judea and through all the people. Listen, they saw the change. People see change, there's excitement. Listen, when somebody gets saved, I don't know about you, you should be excited about the change. When you see somebody come down, we haven't had one yet, but I promise you, it's going to warm our hearts. Because when you see God change somebody's life, you're going to remember what God did in your life. It burns something in you. And people talk about, did you see what happened? Are you praying? Are you praying that God give us one? God give us one? Listen, I don't have to go get them. This invite them. Maybe God bring us one. There's one out there walking around looking and looking. God bring them. There's one I was praying that would come. Oh, I was praying. Come. But he didn't come. But folks, it warms my heart when I see people get saved. It burns my heart when I see that they don't turn. There's a change. Listen, he's a great God. He's high lifted up, and he visited us, and he changed our life, and he can change your life. But God is always available. Amen. But the question is this, will you reach out and accept it? Would you reach out and go and say, you know what, I feel alone. I feel in a crowd. I don't feel like he's with me, my friend. He doesn't lie. I never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Listen, before the foundation and creation of the world, he loved you. He formed you in your mother's belly, and he loved you, and he knew you. Why would he leave you? Oh, give your life to him. Serve him. Live him with all your heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek him first. Make him preeminence of your life. Because listen, he's available. He's available because he loves you. Let's stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed.